The author of the book of Hebrews writes in chapter 6 and verse 1, "Let us press on to maturity." So the question that I ask this morning is, as we spend some time in God's Word, would be this: are you a mature Christian? Am I a mature Christian? When the Hebrew writer penned those words, he wasn't suggesting, he was telling us that this is what we're supposed to do. Let us press on to maturity. It's not an option. It's not a suggestion. It is something that it is imperative for us to do. This morning, we're going to look at the marks of Christian maturity. Are we mature Christians? The Hebrew writer says, press on to maturity. If I wanted to be a mature Christian, how would I know that I was a mature Christian or not? How could I assess that? You ever thought about that? We're supposed to be mature. We use that word a lot. But how would I know on a practical daily basis if I'm acting maturely or not? How do I assess that? What's the standard? What is the condition that I need to understand to know if I'm a mature Christian or not? Let's talk this morning about the marks of maturity. Let's go through the places in the New Testament where Jesus and Paul and others talk about what it means to be mature. We've all been in situations before where we've seen someone act immaturely, and we see maybe the problems that that causes, and we think to ourselves, I wish that they would act maturely. So what are those marks? We talk a lot about growing. We're supposed to grow. We hear sermons a lot on growth. And we hear sermons and we read Bible passages about how that we're to be full grown. Some Bible versions, maybe the versions that you have this morning, instead of using the word mature, it might use the word perfect or full grown. Some versions in Hebrews 6:1 press on to perfection. We hear these lessons. We know that we're supposed to be mature Christians. We hear Bible verses a lot on growing. We just went through not long ago 2 Peter, where we're to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I wrote an article recently and put it in your mailbox on personal growth. We hear a lot of sermons about growth. But what does it mean to actually grow? What does it mean to actually be mature? Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 20 that we are in mind, we are to be men. What does that mean? When we read things in our Bible, I try to challenge myself to stop and ask, well, what does this really mean? When Paul was reading Colossians 1:24 around the Lord's table, when Paul says, I am supplementing that which is lacking in the affliction of Christ, I'm sitting there thinking, okay, what is lacking and why is it lacking and whose fault is it that it's lacking? When we read things in our Bible, ponder that, think about that, explore that. And so when we read in our Bible about press on to maturity, well, what does that mean? And how does that show up in my life? In 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 9, if you'll turn with me there, there are places where Paul encourages maturity. For we rejoice when we are weak and you are strong. This also we pray, even your maturity. Some versions say, your perfecting. Paul is praying for their maturity. Well, how would they know that that prayer was answered? How would Paul know that that prayer is answered? That's what we want to talk about this morning. I'm glad that you're here. We appreciate those who are with us, especially our visitors. I will miss you this evening. I appreciate Daniel taking that opportunity. I'm sure he will have a fine lesson. And Sherry and I will be out of town also Wednesday night taking in some lessons down in Athens, Alabama. Lord willing, we'll be back with you next Sunday. Let's talk a little bit this morning about the marks of maturity. We're going to begin in Luke chapter 8 and verse 14, if you'd like to turn there, the well-known parable of the sower, Luke 8:14. As you're turning over there, the word that we're exploring in the New Testament this morning is an interesting word. The Greek word teleios, T-E-L-E-I-O-S, teleios. Now think of that, the beginning of that word tele. To go from one end to another end. So when something goes from one end to the other end, it goes throughout its full completion. And so we have words like telephone, to talk from one end, to talk to somebody on the other end. Telephone, telephone. The old telegraph, to write something on one end and have it sent to somebody on the other end. Telegraph. Today we have the modern telehealth. You've heard of that, I'm sure. We're talking about going from one end to the other end and complete a process and be what we need to be in the Lord. And that's what I want us to talk about this morning. In Luke chapter 8 and verse 14, we find the beginning of this teaching on maturity in the matter of the parable of the sower. And we begin to learn that the first mark is when I complete a task and when I become full grown, not just halfway there. The seed that falls on the good ground, Luke 8:14, that which fell among the thorns, verse 14, these are they that have heard, and as they go on their way, they are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to maturity. Have you ever seen fruit that is not mature? We typically don't eat fruit that is not mature. For example, you're probably not going to eat a little old green banana. You're going to wait till it gets a little bit bigger and turns yellow, okay? You're not going to eat a little old tiny green tomato. You're going to wait till it gets a little bit bigger and red, if it's a red tomato. We know what fruit is that has gotten to its fullest point, and then that's when we eat it. We know when a watermelon is ripe or when a cantaloupe is ripe or an apple. We don't eat a tiny little... My grandfather had apple trees on his farm. You don't go up there and eat the little tiny green little hard... You wait till it gets big and it gets to completion and full grown. And so we're talking about finishing the process. However that is long for a banana to grow or a tomato or an apple or a watermelon, however long that process is, that it has completed that process. And when this seed falls on the thorny ground, then the fruit does not finish that process. How do I know that I'm mature? Number one, when I finish the process, whatever it is, I complete the task. I do what the Lord wants me to do. I don't just get halfway there. I don't just get a start on it, but I finish it. We don't want that dark green banana. We want to eat the one that's yellow. And we have a process, brethren. And it could be a task that we're given. Elder, deacon, preacher, Bible class teacher, Christian. We've been given a task. We need to finish it. We've been given a responsibility, husband, wife, parent, whatever. We need to finish it each day. We need to finish it. Not just get started on it. I'm mature when I finish the process. When I finish the growth task or process or period of time. If we buy some bananas at the grocery store that are green, we just let them sit there on the counter for a few days and they turn yellow. We wait for the process to finish. I'm mature when I am finishing what God is wanting me to do on a daily basis. not getting started, not halfway there, not almost, but I bring fruit to maturity. Am I doing that in my life? If I am, then I'm mature. If I'm not, then I'm not mature. And I want to be the mature. I want to be the seed that falls on the good and honest heart in the very next verse, and it brings forth fruit with patience. I want to finish that task and finish that process. We would get rid of fruit trees and plants that never actually bring forth what it's supposed to bring forth. If I have a bunch of tomato plants that never ever bring forth red tomatoes, I'm going to get rid of the plants. God doesn't want us just to get started. He doesn't want us to get halfway there or almost. He wants us to finish the process. Whatever that is for me in a daily basis, and I'm doing that, I'm mature. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 5 and verse 48. Let's look at the second mark of maturity. You're going to see this morning, brethren, that maturity is not based upon how many years I've been baptized. Well, I've been baptized for 40 years. You can have a person that's been baptized for 40 years and they're not mature at all. It's not based upon time. Now, it should. The older we are as a Christian, we should be more spiritually mature. That's true. But it's not based upon time, for example. You could have a person that's been baptized just a few months and they act very spiritually mature. It's not based upon chronological time. Number two, it's not based upon what building you're in. Well, I go to a Church of Christ, but it's got Church of Christ on the sign, so I'm spiritually mature. It's not based upon location. It's not even based upon outward appearance, how I look on the outside, some chronological age. Well, this person has white hair, so they're a mature Christian. No, not necessarily. No. No. It's based upon these principles that we're looking at this morning. It's not based upon chronology or time necessarily. It's not based upon a building or a place. It's not based upon an outward appearance. It's based upon these marks that we're finding in the Word of God. And the second one is, I'm mature when, in any given situation that I'm in, I act the way God wants me to act, not the way the world wants me to act. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 5 and verse 48. Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount is talking about how that people in the world, they will love only their friends. They will love only the people that they're close with. And so in Matthew 5, 43, you have heard it said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies and pray for them that persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven, for he makes the sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends the rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love them that love you, that's the way the world does it, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same. And if you salute your brethren only, that's what the world does, what do you more than others? Do not even the Gentiles the same. You therefore shall be mature, some versions say perfect, as your heavenly Father is perfect. The mature thing to do is to love not only your neighbor, but also love your enemy. That's the way God does it. So when I act the way God wants me to act and not the way the world wants me to act, I am acting maturely. It may be difficult in some cases, but I must do that. So these other passages on the PowerPoint, we will not look at them this morning, but they all have this in common. They all use this word maturity in the context of God's revealed will in the Scripture. God's revealed will in Scripture is what makes me mature when I act according to God's will revealed in the Scripture. I'm acting maturely. Now, it's not limited to love toward others. It could be anything. It could be my speech, my dress, whether I love someone or not. It could be anything. When I act the way the revealed will of God tells me to act, and I'm not going to act like the world, I am a mature Christian. Jesus is saying here in verse 48 that we need to be like our Heavenly Father who is mature. And in this matter of loving, He will love even enemies. John 3:16, did He not love the whole world? That's the mature thing, you see. So when I act the way God wants me to act on any given situation, school, work, neighborhood, Kroger, wherever, I'm mature. I'm not going to act like the world wants me to act. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 19 and verse 21. What does it mean to be mature? How do I even know if I'm a mature Christian? How do I know that? Well, when I sacrifice and give up for the Lord, and I don't keep it for myself. You remember the rich young ruler in Matthew chapter 19? He has this great attitude. He comes to Jesus and says, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" He'd been brought up a great young man. He had been raised by parents who told him to keep the Ten Commandments. He mentioned some of these commandments that he had kept from his youth up. He probably had a great set of parents that taught him that, which is really to their credit. But as an adult, he's now being challenged by Jesus to, you've got to give up some things. And that's what he was not willing to do. He had loved his riches so much that when Jesus told him to give these things up, give them to the poor, come follow me, when the young man heard the saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had possessions. What did Jesus say to him in verse 21? If you would be mature, go sell what you have and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. You know what the mature thing to do on a given situation is? You know what the mature thing to do is? Give up those things that the Lord wants us to give up. The immature thing is to selfishly hold on to things. The mature thing is, Jesus is asking me to give up such and such. It could be monetary things. It could be other things. It could be giving my time. It could be giving my talents. 2 Corinthians 8:5. It could be giving my whole self. But when Jesus is asking me to give something, the mature thing to do is to give it, not selfishly hold on to it. I don't know if this man ever entered into the kingdom or not. I hope he did later. I hope he rethought it, but I don't know. But Jesus said, if you would be mature, go sell all that you have. You're going to have to do something big. The mature thing is to do something big, something sacrificial. Something that shows a sacrifice and a commitment, and that's what he was not willing to do. I'm mature when I give up what the Lord is asking me to give up. It could be an unscriptural marriage. It could be something that I've obtained in my life in an ungodly way. It could be something that is keeping me from being baptized into Christ, some attitude or some idea or doctrine. But when Jesus is asking me to give up things, do it. That's the mature thing. He knows what is best for us. Another mark of maturity is found in Ephesians chapter 4, if you'll turn with me there. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 13. A mark of maturity is that I am grounded in the truth. And all of us face a world and a culture that is trying to pull us away from truth. It's crazy what is out there. Pulling people away from just basic truths. And we've got to be grounded in the Word of God. That shows maturity. Not tossed around with the latest ideology in our young people who are in the college and university setting. Some of you are going to be going back to school. You're sitting there in the classroom. You're not going to listen to every little thing that the professor says and says, "Woo, this is awesome." But you're going to sit there and you're going to say, "No,
I'm going to follow the truths that are found in the Word of God. I'm going to be mature and not just latch on to anything that I see in social media or this professor that is spouting off this ideology or that. I'm going to sit there and I'm going to maturely ground myself in the truths of the Word of God. Paul writes in verse 11 that male leadership and the two that are still in the church today in physical form are the evangelist and the elders, verse 11, or the pastors. And these men help the saints to be perfected and work, verse 13, until we all attain unto the unity of the faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a full-grown, mature man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Where does it come from? Where does the full-grown or mature man come from? The knowledge of the Son of God. And verse 14, we're not going to be children tossed to and fro, carried about by every wind of doctrine. Notice that children, which is typically synonymous with immature, notice how children is tied together with tossed around by every wind of doctrine, but the full-grown man is tied to the knowledge of the Son of God. I'm mature when I listen to and follow the knowledge of the Son of God, period. And we're seeing today the effects of a bunch of immature adults following the deceit and every wind of doctrine. And Paul calls it in verse 14, the sleight of men in craftiness after the wiles of error. And we've got all that foolishness going on in our society, and people are buying into it and making laws based upon it, and it's terrible. And how would Paul call it, verse 14? He would call that a bunch of acting like a bunch of children. Well, you say that would ruffle a lot of people's feathers to you. Y'all are acting like a bunch of children. But that's how Paul describes it. We need to be the full-grown man, verse 13, that bases our life on the knowledge of the Son of God. So when we have that spiritual stability in my teaching and in my learning and in my knowledge, I'm not going to be moved around by every little thing out there that people are saying about this and that. I'm a mature Christian. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 3 and verse 15. Here's another mark of maturity. When I continue always to press on toward heaven, I'm not content, no matter how old I am. Paul writes this when he is in Roman prison. He wrote Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon. And in Philemon, he describes himself as the aged. Paul is the aged, however old that was, and he's still wanting to press on. He's not in retirement mode. Do you know what the spiritually mature thing is as a Christian? When I'm always in this mode of pressing on, whether learning more, being as active as I can be. Philippians 3:14, well-known passage. I press on toward the goal unto the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Here's the point. Look at verse 15. Let us therefore, as many as are mature, be thus minded. That's the mature thing. I have this mindset that I'm not going to coast. I'm just going to kind of coast the rest of my life or put it in neutral or plateau and just, I'm good. But I'm always going to be doing more. That is the mature mindset. I'm not going to stay the same. And that's what the Hebrew writer talks about. We'll get to him in just a minute. We're not going to stay the same.
And I see even in my own life, you get midlife or so, and you think, well, you know, I've got all this knowledge, I can just sort of coast. Or I've got all of these good works built up, I can sort of coast. And I've got all of this reputation and things that I've done in the past, and I just sort of coast. It's tempting, but we don't need to do it. Challenging ourselves to do more. Going to the elders and saying, put me down for more. Always with this mindset of pressing on, stretching out. Carlin may appreciate this. I'm sure he's heard it before. But in verse 12, I press on, if so be that I may lay hold on that for which also I was laid hold on by Christ. Brethren, I count not myself yet to have laid hold, but one thing I do, forgetting the things which are behind and stretching forward to the things which are before. Some Greeks use that to mean the runner who's stretching out to cross over the finish line first. Is that our approach in life? Or have we gotten into the coast mode or just the maintenance mode? And as a local church, we want to be mature and always be telling ourselves, how can we grow? How can we do more? We don't want to get into a coasting mode or a maintenance only mode. Maybe you've heard that before about the evolution of a local church where often it's zealous and on fire and growing early on. And then it gets into this maintenance mode after a while. They just sort of maintain the status quo, and then it's the dying mode. Many local churches go through that same evolution. Zealous and growing, just sort of maintaining, not really planning ahead for anything, and then the dying. We want to be like Paul, where we're stretching out, and when we're pressing forward, leaning forward with the neck stretched out. That is the mature thing. That's what Paul would have us to do. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 3. Let's look at another mark of maturity. As we deal with others, whether it's members of the church in the local church or people out in the community, a mark of maturity is when we treat others with love, not with hate. Paul has been talking about in Colossians 3, beginning in verse 5, to put off that old man and the negative things and the sinful things that an old man, that old way of life, put those types of things away. But then in verse 12, put on those things that are right and good, and he comes down to the end of it all and he says, and above all things, put on love, which is the bond of maturity. Earlier, he had been talking about, back up to verse 6, he had been talking about wrath. He had been talking about anger and wrath, verse 8, and malice and railing and shameful speaking and lying. That's not how we treat one another. But how do we treat one another? Well, verse 12, a heart of compassion and kindness and lowliness and meekness and forbearing one another and forgiving one another, and on top of all of that, love, which is the bond of maturity. So, when I'm working with my fellow brethren in the local church, or even people out in the community, that's how I'm going to act. Sometimes it may be difficult, it may be challenging, it may be something that we don't want to do, but the mature thing to do is that. And I confess, there have been times when you look at these marks of maturity and I would say, well, I didn't always have that mark. But I want to. I need to. That's maturity. We're talking about how to see it in our daily lives, just the practical, simple way that I can know on Sunday, July the 16th, am I mature or not? These are just basic marks that let me know if I am or not. This is what Christ wants us to be. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 5.
In Hebrews chapter 5, the Hebrew writer uses this word to tell us what it means to be mature. It means that on any given situation, I know how to choose between good and evil. I have a Bible knowledge that lets me know what is good and evil in this particular situation, and I choose the good. That's the mature thing. And so in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 12, when by reason of time you ought to be teachers, you have need again that someone teach you the rudiments of the first principles of the oracles of God. We'll get to that when we get to chapter 6 and verse 1 in just a minute. But I want to talk about something else. And are become such as have need of milk and not of solid food. Milk, again, is for a little baby, and we associate that with immaturity. Solid food is that which we associate with an adult, maturity. But you are become such as have need of milk, immature, and not of solid food. For everyone, here's your mark of maturity. Everyone that partakes of milk, immature, is without experience of the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food is for full-grown, mature men, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern good and evil. So verse 13, you take the word of righteousness and you use it, verse 14, to decide, to discern, to understand what is good and evil, and you pick the good. That's why daily Bible reading is so important. That's why reading and understanding and applying our Bible is so important. We're trying to make decisions discerning what is good and evil in any given situation. No, I'm not going to find that on social media. I'm sorry, you're not going to find it there. It's in your Bible. And you're not going to find it by chatting with your friends. It's not there. It's in your Bible. And you're not going to find it by Googling it on the internet. I'm sorry. It's in your Bible. That's where we find what is good and evil. That's how we know. And so verse 14, solid food. This experience, look at verse 13, experience of the word of righteousness. What does that mean, experience? I'm learning it, I'm knowing it, I'm applying it. It's not just some academic thing that's down there at the church building. You know, Jeff's up here teaching 1 Timothy and there's just some stuff that's being tossed around down there. No, it's in my life every part of the day. And I have experience with the word of righteousness. That's what it means to be mature. And that's how we're going to direct our lives. And with regard to the word of righteousness, turn with me to chapter 6 and verse 1. Here is another trait that I want to talk about or mark while we're here. And that is, the mature thing is that we leave behind basic principles and grow in our knowledge and we know deeper things. Brethren, we need to know more than just the plan of salvation. That's a good thing to know. But you've got to know more than that. You need to know more than what we call the five acts of worship. You need to know more than that. And you need to know more than just, well, Jesus is coming again. In fact, that's one of the six things that is listed here, the judgment to come. We've got to get past basic things. That's why I'm glad we have Bible classes and teachers that challenge us to dig deeper and to know more. And as teachers, by the way, here at Warfield, let us challenge our students to dig deeper and know more and know other things other than the basics. Because that's what the Hebrew writer says. You got to get past, he lists six basic things here. That's not a total list. There are other basic things. He lists six as an example, some basic principles of the doctrine of Christ. He says you've got to move past that. I wonder sometimes if there's some brethren who can't even give you the plan of salvation. They couldn't give you the five acts of worship. I wonder about that. But we've got to know the basics, yes, but we've got to move past that. So I appreciate teachers who will challenge us to learn other things in the Word of God and deeper things and more complex things and put things together. We've got to move past just basic things. That is a mark of maturity. And look at verse 3. This we will do if God permit.
He certainly wants us to do it. But do you and I want to do it? God will permit us to do that, but we've got to want it also.
Turn with me to James chapter 1 and verse 4. Just a few more and then we'll close. A mark of maturity is when I'm going through trials and I patiently endure that. I don't just fall apart and quit. Some brethren fall apart and quit. That's not the mature thing. The mature thing is when you go through trials, you have patient, steadfast endurance. Count it all joy, my brethren, when you fall into manifold temptations, knowing that the proving of your faith works patience. And let patience have its mature work, or perfect work, that you may be mature and entire, lacking in nothing. What is the context? It is making it through these trials. You don't just fall apart. Oh, I fall apart. I'm gonna quit attending. I'm having a hard time. I'm just gonna quit attending. That's what some brethren do. I'm gonna quit reading my Bible and I'm not gonna pray anymore and times are hard and I'm just not gonna attend. I mentioned yesterday with regard to Maxine Bowler three things that came out in my mind. Number one, her priorities. I show up one day here at the building and here's this elderly lady from Dixon in her car, with all kinds of health problems, but she's here at the church service. That lady had priorities. Hands all messed up, problems with her body and all. Coming to church services. And sometimes it included inclement weather. Driving in the rain at night when her adult kids didn't want her to do it. But I want to be there and worship God. Second thing was, she was serving and caring. She would give me money from time to time to help other people. And number three, and I thought about it when Clarence was singing the song, Give Me the Bible, all she wanted was plain Bible preaching. That's all she told me. She said, I like your preaching because it comes from the good book. But she's not someone who's going to say, well, I'm having a hard time alive, I'm just going to quit. And young people, let me tell you, you look around at some of these older folks here this morning. Look around. You look around. There are older brethren sitting here that'll be here. If they can be here, they're not going to let anything stop them. And you need to be more like that, young people. You need to be more like that. Yep. I'm seeing today where I got some little old something and I can't do it. There's some elderly brethren sitting around here. They do not operate on that principle. And there was a time in this country where the country as a whole did not operate on that principle. And that's why we were something some 70 years ago or so. That's why we were something. And that's why we did a lot. And that's why we did a lot for ourselves and for people all around the globe. Because we had people with this determination and commitment and hard work. No excuse making. And that's why not just in society as a whole, but in the Lord's church, there was that mentality. And James says, when you press through problems and all, and you just keep going and you're not deterred by any of that, that is the mature thing. What a great statement. Turn over to a couple of chapters to chapter 3 and verse 2, just two more and then we'll close. When I control myself, that's the mature thing. When I control myself. And the specific thing that he mentions is the tongue. But it would apply to other things. My thoughts, what I look at, other things. When I control myself, I am mature. And so, if any man... If in many things we all stumble, if any man stumbles not in word, the same is a mature man, able to bridle the whole body also. The immature thing is just cave in to saying whatever you want to say, feeling whatever you want to feel, doing what, just at the moment, just let it out. Yeah, well, I got to vent. That's the immature. The mature thing is to
Sometimes you got to really rein it in there. We were out of town this past week, a couple of days, going over to Gatlinburg area. Of course, you've heard of the new Buc-ee's, right? You got to go to the new Buc-ee's. We're sitting there getting gas at the new Buc-ee's. I didn't see this. Sherry saw it. I was inside. This guy pulls in with a brand new fifth wheel rig, big old camper rig. He pulls in and he sideswipes the gas pump, that big, that protective concrete thing that keeps you from actually hitting the pump. He hit it. But rather than stopping and controlling himself and getting out and checking the situation, doing whatever he just kept ramming it through, scraped the side of the whole thing, tore the awning off, tore some of the fenders off, and he's having to pick, I'm getting this from Sherry, he's picking up fenders and stuff, putting them in the bed of his truck, because I'll show this gas pump, and he just ram it through there. He's not going to control his emotions and calm down and cool down. I'm just going to plow through. We'll see about this. And this nice rig just gets all torn up because we can't control our emotions. We all have accidents and make mistakes and stuff. That's not the point. But when you first do something like that, just calm down. Just ramming it through is not going to make it worse. And maybe as men, sometimes we do that. You know, I'll show that gas pump. And it just gets worse. We've got to control ourselves. James says that is the mature thing. And then last of all, 1 John 4, verse 18. This is a very interesting verse. It has a lot of meaning to it that would be good to explore even beyond what I would have time to talk about this morning. But let's have a mature love. Love that is completely mature in serving God does not have any fear in it. And the mature thing is to have a complete mature love. There is no fear in love. But mature love, perfect love, mature love, casts out fear, because fear has punishment, and he that feareth is not made mature in love. When we completely and maturely love the Lord, keep His commandments, love Him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and body, we don't fear. We don't fear what someone's going to say. We don't fear hellfire because we're right with God. We don't fear. We don't fear retaliation. We don't fear threatening. We don't fear any problems or trials that are going to come from being a faithful Christian. We perfectly and maturely love God. Fear doesn't even enter into our mind. And we've got to get to that point in our lives, brethren, because fear, a little bit of fear creeps in it. Well, then that keeps me from doing such and such. And I'm not going to say such and such, and I'm not going to go do such. And I'm bothered by this and stressed and anxiety. John says, mature love, perfect love, casts out fear. I'm just going to serve the Lord today, period. None of this fearing stuff is going to enter in, which keeps me from doing what I need to do. Let's have that mature love. Well, when you look at the New Testament, those are the marks of maturity. Not based upon how old we are or how many years we've been baptized or what church building we go to or what we look like on the outside, whether we have gray hair or not. It has to do with these marks that are mentioned. And when these things are in my life, I am mature. I am the way that God wants me to be. Let's be that this week. If there's one of these that I need to work on, I'm going to pick it out, I'm going to put it on the refrigerator, and I'm going to work on it. I am going to be mature in this area of my life. Whatever it is, it's different for everyone. But whatever it is, that's what I'm going to be. And by being that, I'm going to be pleasing to God. Let's go out and bear those marks of maturity. It's what Jesus wants. We're going to stand and sing this song of encouragement. You may need to begin your mature thing by coming and obeying God this morning. Or as an erring child of God, coming back in some way if we can help you. But let's go out and do what the Lord wants us to do and be pleasing to Him. If we can help you to do that, why won't you come as we stand?